It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios with you and back in the seat. Meetings yesterday in Washington, pretty interesting. I'm going to get into that in just a second. But while I was busy doing those things, other things were taking place on the Capitol. One of those was the hearing for Mike Pompeo to be Secretary of State. Now you're hearing about that from other sources, about his positions on Syria, his positions on North Korea, etc. But what you might not hear is the following exchange. Senator Cory Booker ask something that I'm confident is not related to being Secretary of State. Nevertheless, they make it relevant to everything. Let's listen.
You said in a speech that mourning an America that endorses perversion and calls it an alternative lifestyle, is your words, is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same view.
And so people in the State Department, I met some in Africa, that are married under your leadership. You do not believe that that should be allowed?
Senator, I believe it's the case. We have married gay couples at the CIA. You should know. I treated them with the exact same set of rights.
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator,
do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Because it's what you said here,
Senator,
in one of your speeches. Yes or no? Do you believe gay sex is a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
I will conclude by saying, sir, you're going to be Secretary of State of the United States at a time that we have an increase in hate speech and hate actions against Jewish Americans, Muslim Americans, Indian Americans. Hate acts are on the increase in our nation. You're going to be representing this country and their values abroad in nations where gay individuals are under untold persecution, untold violence. Your views do matter. You're going to be dealing with Muslim states and on Muslim issues. And I do not necessarily concur that you are performing the values of our nation when you believe that there are people in our country that are perverse, and where you think that you create different categories of Americans and their obligations when it comes to condemning of violence. I'll have another round, but thank you.
So you see how this goes, don't you? And most politicians don't hold up under that. Honestly, they prevaricate or they think of some other thing to say. They change the subject. I thought Mike Pompeo actually answered pretty forcefully under those circumstances. He is, after all, vying for the position of Secretary of State. It's not a given that the Senate will confirm him. And certainly if the radical LGBT community gets behind and against him, that could be a very bad thing. And yet he stood his ground. I thought that was pretty amazing. And, of course, the absurdity of that being important to his office as Secretary of State, when he stated clearly, and I guess the record shows that he's not treating people any differently. He just has a conviction that homosexuality is, he didn't restate it, but he wrote it some time ago, is a perversion, that same-sex marriage is not acceptable. Well, which we all feel that way. We feel that way. It's not that we feel. Feelings don't matter. It's what God's word says. And so I was really grateful for Mike Pompeo's strong stand on that. By the way, he graduated first in his class at West Point. He's no dummy. That's Mike Pompeo, and it's the president's new pick to replace Rex Tillerson. And we just hope and pray that he makes it through this confirmation process. You heard just a few days ago this week that Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, is stepping down. Let me just give you an idea of the kinds of things that are being reported on that. I want to give you a couple of headlines here. This is from The Hill. Loss of Ryan hits hard for House Republicans. It says, in the early hours after the news broke, some Republicans framed the news as both the latest sign that Republicans are headed for the minority, as well as a spark that could set off more GOP retirements. Another headline, this one from Politico: Ryan deepens House GOP's 2018 woes. And it goes on to talk about how terrible it is that he stepped down. And this is one from the Daily Beast. Exiting House Republicans see a big wave coming after Paul Ryan calls it in. Now, I have to tell you, as always, there are two universes here. There is the set of Republican leadership, especially, but also rank and file, who have been elected to the House because Paul Ryan oversaw the PAC that favored rhinos, favored moderates, favored people that would vote like him. Those are the ones that got elected. Those are the ones that's why there are so few in the Freedom Caucus, because the conservatives were targeted and moderates were encouraged. And once they got there, they were encouraged even more. And then they were whipped by Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy. And you ask, well, aren't they conservatives? Well, let's just see. Under their whipping, following the bidding of their leader, Ryan, they did not fund a border wall, except maybe minimally at the most. They gave us a bill that put us $1.2 trillion further in debt. They gave the Democrats everything they wanted. They fully funded Planned Parenthood. They made multiple attempts to pass DACA and other immigration issues. That's what Paul Ryan has been all about, undermining any kind of restriction on immigration. They failed to repeal Obamacare. They disrespected President Trump, and probably more importantly than that, they undermined the will of the people by not passing the president's agenda. And that's what Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy both did. They did it. They could say all they want that they're buddies to President Trump, but what they actually did was undermine his platform and the will of the American people. That's really what they did. So now, they did backroom deals, the same as what happened under Obama and Nancy Pelosi. Remember how we were so distressed that the Obamacare bill came up? They brought it on December 24th, and they slapped down this 1,000-plus, I forgot how many pages, maybe 1,800 pages, of a health care bill, and they had to vote on it by midnight, and they hadn't seen it because it was people in the back room writing the bill. Well, could I just tell you, Paul Ryan squealed about that. So did all the others in leadership, how terrible that was. And yet, when they were in position, they did the very same thing just, what, 30 days ago on the omnibus? It was a more than 1,000-page bill. It was four people involved in writing. It was Mitch McConnell. It was Chuck Schumer. It was Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan. The big four overseeing it. Now, I'm saying certainly other people had involvement in the actual wording and what they were doing, but they didn't let other members see it until it was time to vote. They were only given, I don't remember, just hours, maybe one night. Remember that? So nothing, you know, this is the kind of leadership, and every person around Speaker Paul Ryan has been complicit with this. Kathy McMorris Rogers, I'm just telling you, their hands are not clean. So could I tell you what I think about this? This is great news. This is great news. The dead weight that sits in Congress and the House, especially right now, well, there's a lot of dead weight in the Senate, but we're talking about the House, they're disappointed. They're leaving. They are upset. They think they're going to lose anyway. And you know what? That might happen. That might happen. But I see something changing. And this is what I see changing. There are other outlets that are saying, well, let me just read. Let me do it this way. I'll do this with headlines again. This is from the Daily Caller yesterday. Growing wave of support for Jim Jordan to take over as Speaker. Memo to the House. Save your majority. Elect Jim Jordan Speaker. Let me read to you from Conservative HQ. Jordan, unlike House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy and Majority Whip Steve Scalise, has been tireless in advancing the conservative populist agenda that catapulted Donald Trump to the White House, while McCarthy and Scalise arm-twisted Republicans into betraying their principles to fund Planned Parenthood and zero out the border wall. Jim Jordan fought for those and other conservative policies. Unlike Ryan, whose refusal to sell the conservative ideas that elected Donald Trump has made a 2018 Democratic blue wave almost a self-fulfilling prophecy, Jim Jordan will hit the campaign trail and the airwaves to raise money, promote conservative candidates for the House, and sell conservative policy solutions. Right now, as it stands today, there are several members of the Freedom Caucus who are being targeted by the left and by their Republican rhinos. Maybe they won't target them now that they've sort of given up and they think the House is lost and Paul Ryan, in an act of, you know, courage, is leaving. Yeah, I'm glad he's leaving. I'm really glad he's leaving. I think in many ways he's done more damage than John Boehner ever did, because he did it with a smile. And he's a family man, you know, this nice guy from Wisconsin. But he's done terrible damage to this country and subverted. And the conservative movement undermined them in every way. It's just amazing to have seen this happen. And now we see Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise both, Kevin McCarthy more, but Steve also, vying for the support of President Trump. I have to tell you that Kevin McCarthy's been doing this for months. I could give you illustrations of all the things that he's done to sort of, let's say, schmooze President Trump. He sends him things. And the president calls him my Kevin. Yeah, the president likes Kevin McCarthy. He thinks he's great. Of course, you know, he says that about everyone. We don't know what he really thinks. And he thinks Steve Scalise is great. And Steve Scalise, you know, he was shot on that baseball field. It does not take away from the horror of that. But Steve Scalise, acting as whip for Ryan, did some really bad things and arm-twisted a lot of conservatives and threatened them. By the way, could I just say that under Paul Ryan, conservatives do not have chairmanships for any of the committees. You wonder why the committees in the House don't do anything, why they don't pursue the lawlessness of the left or Hillary Clinton's crimes or even Benghazi. You think Trey Gowdy is a conservative, don't you? A lot of you do, because he talks a great game. But people in Washington who are conservatives say he's all hat and no cattle. He talks a great game, but when it comes down, when push comes to shove, he does what the leadership wants. When it came to the Benghazi hearing, Trey Gowdy talked big, but I can tell you by firsthand experience, he absolutely refused information and evidence in Benghazi from people who were on the front lines, people who had been injured there, whose names you have never heard. They didn't want to hear. Trey Gowdy didn't want to hear from those people. That whole hearing was a sham. So what's at stake is committee hearings. It's holding people accountable. It's implementing the agenda that President Trump ran on, that we voted for. And so that's why I'm in total agreement that we need a Jim Jordan. And so people are calling out for him to run. And meanwhile, McCarthy is trying to do everything he can to get President Trump to publicly endorse him for speaker. So far, that hasn't happened. But I can tell you that... This I will tell you. God is at work in D.C. He is at work. And there are God's men in various places who are praying at some of the key positions. And I would ask you to join me in praying for the members of the Freedom Caucus. I'm going to say specifically Congressman Jim Jordan, Congressman Mark Meadows, and Dave Bratt, and others who are working very hard to try to do what's right. They really do. They're uncompromising. They're uncompromising. And this is kind of a do or die, because I believe if Kevin McCarthy or Steve Scalise gets that position, it will be business as usual. Nothing will change. And I really do think it's probably inevitable that the Republicans will lose the House. The president will be impeached. That's what we're up against here. And so just pray. Will you specifically pray this weekend for Congressman Jim Jordan? We hope that he will run for speaker, that he will create a nationwide wave that will bring along candidates that will run for the purpose of keeping the promises that President Trump made. And so that's what's happening, and I just wanted you to know, so let's pray about it. Okay, coming up next, Mark Ciardi, the producer of Chappaquiddick. It's been out a week So what's been happening? Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness. The music of Sasha's song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
The influence of media is so very powerful over a person.
American Family Association and the family of Anna Bright want to warn you about the Netflix program 13 Reasons Why.
I really feel in my heart, with all my soul, that show contributed to her passing.
After binge-watching season one of 13 Reasons Why, 14-year-old Anna Bright committed suicide in the same manner depicted on the show.
To portray suicide, first of all, as an option is not a good thing. To portray it graphically, it leaves you vulnerable to the enemy's attack, which I think it definitely did for our daughter.
She took a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
Help protect our teens by signing the AFA petition urging Netflix to pull Season 1 and cancel the upcoming Season 2 of 13 Reasons Why. You can see Anna's story and sign the petition at afa.net. That's afa.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Students at Hofstra University in New York have declared war on Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence and our third president. He also owned slaves. A coalition of black student groups and gay rights organizations want the university to take down a Jefferson statue outside the student center. The bronze sculpture was given to the school by a trustee more than 70 years ago. Hundreds have signed a petition urging the university to relocate the statue to a museum or some other place so that perpetually offended snowflakes won't be triggered by microaggressions. The student activist mob says supporters of Thomas Jefferson need to check their privilege, and by privilege they mean white people. Don't be surprised, folks. This is what a cultural jihad looks like, and the jihadist won't stop until American history is turned into a great big pile of rubble. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Okay, Sandy Rios back with you. You just heard the reminder about the Netflix series called 13 Reasons. And interestingly enough, I got an email from a listener. We know that Anna Bright, this 14-year-old girl, and two others have killed themselves as a result of watching that series. And now they're preparing the second season of that. We're asking you to go to AFA, afaaction.net, and sign a petition to beg Netflix to stop this series, because lives really and truly are at stake. I want to read to you a Facebook post I got from Becky. She says, "My son died by suicide 3 days after turning 27. It will be 4 years next month. It was not until this happened and I joined a group for parents that lost their children to suicide that I came to know just how many young people take their life every day. I'm talking even as young as 9 and 10 years old. We lose too many to suicide to have a show like 13 Reasons Why, glorifying suicide and showing it as an option. This show shouldn't have never been aired in the first place. I was appalled when I found out about the show, especially knowing firsthand the effect suicide has on the surviving family, friends, and coworkers. I pray everyone will take a stand, sign the petition, and Netflix will pull this show from the air and stop season two. And so that's from a mom who's lost her son. We don't need to be persuaded, do we? And by the way, Anna's parents, the very powerful video of them telling the story of their daughter, you could see pictures of her. She's just a child. She's a young 14. It's just appalling. She spent a weekend binging on that Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why, and then mimicked exactly the suicide of the character. And one more thing, one more Facebook post here. This is from Matthew. He said in his college communications class, many students wrote on 13 Reasons Why. And that they said that after watching the show, it had caused them to be depressed. Several people said that it triggered certain negative thoughts. And I found that this was very disturbing. And, of course, Matt wanted to know what I thought about the show, but by now he knows. We've been talking about it. So we hope that you will go. Please go to AFA.net and sign the petition. Plus, there are other resources, the hotline for suicide, to prevent suicide, and also some other resources about suicide and how to prepare, how to prevent it, and how to deal with it if it should happen. So that's my plea to you today. All right, on a lighter note, I guess, subject of this is not so cheery either, but the movie Chappaquiddick, I talked to you about it last week, and it was coming out last Friday, so it's been out a week. It's the story of Senator Edward Kennedy, and going off a bridge with a former staffer for his brother, and she drowned. She didn't drown. She asphyxiated. She was in the car for hours and could have been saved, but he left the scene. Mark Ciardi was with us then, and I've asked him to join us again this morning. He is the producer of this movie. Mark, you may remember, has produced Rookie, Miracle, Invincible, Secretariat. He's really produced some fine movies. And now that I've seen the movie, I wanted to talk to him. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
Good. All right, it's been a week. So my question is, how's the movie doing?
Yeah, the movie's doing very well. We exceeded expectations. We opened to almost $6 million, and then our weekday numbers we've had the lowest drop of any film. So, you know, great word of mouth, and it's a small movie that's doing really nice business and heading into weekend two, and we'll see what happens this weekend. We added some screens, and there's a lot of support for the film, and certainly a lot of noise out there around the film being talked about.
You know, I'm really surprised, Mark, at the press coverage that I've seen. Here's an article from the Chicago Tribune written by a friend of mine, John Cass. And he basically says, Chicago Tribune, by the way, is not exactly a conservative outlet, even though John's like a libertarian. He's more conservative than most by comparison. But he says, Chappaquiddick concerns itself with Ted Kennedy needing enough time to step over Mary Jo Kopechne's corpse. He says a lot of other things, but that's how. But Boston Globe, this is really amazing. The writer says a vote for Ted Kennedy endorsed a proud and passionate liberal agenda, but it also endorsed the corrupt process that protected the senator after Kopechne's death. Beyond Massachusetts, Chappaquiddick was a deal breaker, but for Kennedy loyalists, the dream never died as long as he lived. And I just think that's amazing coming out of Boston, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, we've gotten across the board really tremendous reviews. There's been a few mixed reviews here and there, but for the most part, both liberal publications and conservative ones have really embraced the movie and been really proud of that. We made a movie not for the left or the right, but really to have a movie about the truth. That's what we'd like to say, and that's how it's been, kind of reviewed, and people are talking about it and appreciate it. That we just tell the facts, and you put those facts together, and you make your own decision on the decisions he made that night and afterwards.
Mark, when you were with me the first time, I asked you about that, and you really emphasized the fact that you were just sticking to the facts, ma'am. That you were, and I want to tell you what happened. I went to see it last Friday night, and I could tell. Look, I'm very conservative, you know that. So I'm sitting in the audience and I'm seeing all these trailers that are really offensive, especially one. And the audience is laughing, and I'm thinking, okay, so now I know I'm watching this movie with. Chappaquiddick starts, And I don't know why they found it funny, but there were several people in the theater who were laughing at some of the things that happened, some of the things that Ted Kennedy said. They found that amusing, the girls coming. I don't know. I just thought, wow, this is interesting. But I have to tell you that as the movie went on, a sort of a silence descended on the audience. The place was packed, by the way. And then when the movie was over, my husband, there was a man sitting next to my husband, and he turned to my husband and he said, did you? He was like in shock, honestly. Did you like that movie? And my husband said, yes, I thought it was great. And it was like a man in shock. And he looked forward, he said, I just never expected it to be full of lies. And I said, sir, these are not lies. This telling is based on fact. And I told him, I said, I just talked to the producer last week. This is fact, not fiction. I said, is it possible that you never really knew the truth? I just wanted to tell you that because I'm sure that, again, you've made it clear you're not trying to make politics out of this, but you are trying to make truth out of it. And that's the kind of effect it had on audiences in the theater, the audience in the theater in which I saw it. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think if you're a Kennedy loyalist, it's a very difficult movie to watch and comprehend, you know, because of the choices he made. And, you know, it's been pointed out, and there's a few people, you know, we did screenings up in Martha's Vineyard, and, you know, a few people got upset. For the most vast majority appreciated the film, and they lived on the island when it happened. But, you know, it causes certainly a lot of, you know, feelings with people about, you know, what happened that night. And when you put those together, that's, you know, this is what happened. This is the timeline. We spoke to the scuba diver that found the body. You know, his contention was that she died of asphyxiation. Remember, they didn't do an autopsy. So we're putting together, you know, different points of view on the movie. And really, that's, you know, once you put those together, it's really compelling, a bunch of missteps, certainly by Ted Kennedy, and it's very difficult to watch in that way. But you got to make your own opinion, and I like the fact that people are talking about it, and some dislike or like. Vast majority like the film, and it's been amazing.
But it is, Mark. The thing that's true, among other things that are true, is that the things that you present can be verified. I mean, really, it's public record. I read a lot, actually, since I talked to you, I've read a lot about this. All the things that you portray in the movie can be verified, and actually, you were very careful. There's even rumors that she might have been pregnant. You didn't go there. Assessment. Look, nobody knows, but that the Kopechne family did not want an autopsy of Mary Jo because they were afraid that she was, and they didn't want that to damage the family or her reputation. That was a very big deal back then. And so you don't go into anything like that.
No, we try not to really pull up any of the salacious facts and rumors. There's no proof of that. So we didn't, you know, have that in there. In fact, most of the scenes with Ted and Mary Jo were emotional ones, you know, in the beginning, talking about their hopes and dreams and the pressures on Ted. So, you know, I thought the movie was incredibly fair. I mean, we could have gone a lot of different directions, but, you know, we wanted a very nuanced film, and one that didn't, you know, play up the salacious facts. And, you know, it's still very damning, you know, when you put those, the timeline together, you know, that he called Hyannisport several times that evening from the hotel. You know, they don't reflect well. And, obviously he was having brunch the next morning. All that's verified. When you put those all together, you know, that's what we try to do for the movie and use the inquest as the main source for the film.
Yeah, I just, listen, I did not say yet, but I want to, it was excellent. The film was excellent. You know, normally I think if you take out the salacious stuff and then you try to pin together news reports and the inquest, whatever it was called, it sounds like boring stuff. But the way you produced this film, Mark, it really was brilliant. It's so well done, compelling. I would go see it again, even though, you know, of course I knew the ending the first time. But I just thought it was excellent. I do want to ask you about one of the characters, the cousin, who was like a brother,
Joe
whose
Gargan.
Name is yeah, he has such a central role in this. It made me wonder if he might have contributed a great deal to the screenwriter's take on this. Any information about that?
No, Joe Gargan was a cousin, and they more or less adopted him, you know, at a young age. So he's kind of considered one of the family. He's very close with Ted. About 10 years after the incident, they stopped speaking. There was no longer any contact with Joe Gargan and Ted over this event. And he did one interview and that's all he did. And he talked about the events that night and what Kennedy did and didn't do. So, he's really the moral compass of the film. And he happened to pass away. We never were able to contact Joe Gargan, but he passed away this past December. And, never got to speak to him. He never got to see the film, obviously. But it would have been interesting to see his take on the film because, he was around a lot of it. He was probably the one person that knew a lot of what happened that evening. And, we take, interviews and the inquest, everything that's out there in public domain and put together this narrative. And it's really, like you said, it's a thriller at its core. And it's I remember reading the script and it made my hands sweat. So yeah. That's a good thing when you're reading or then trying to execute a movie at a high level.
Let me double back for a second. You say that Joe Gargan gave one interview. So you did have information like from his perspective. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a book, Senatorial Privilege, that he did an interview, a lengthy interview on. And it's really interesting to hear, his thoughts on it. And Ted, basically he's going to blame Mary Jo, or to have Mary Jo say she was driving. He wanted Joe to take the fall, Joe Gargan to take the fall. It was a really, really interesting, taking all these facts that are out there in interviews and putting it together. And that's what the writers did.
Is there any, of course, I have a select view of a bit of information here. The things that I'm seeing are all positive about the reviews, but are you getting slammed from anyone about this?
No. You know what? There was an op-ed piece by Ted's biographer that was in the New York Times that really lit up social media in the movie's defense. And actually, Owen Gleiberman, gave us a fantastic review from Variety. Anybody wants to read it, it was almost like a press release for the movie. Kind of everything we tried to do, he pointed out, and it was an unbelievable review. He also wrote a follow-up article called Why Liberals Should See Chappaquiddick, and I would have everybody pull that article up as well. And he talks about, the op-ed piece in the New York Times by the biographer, basically saying none of it was true in the movie and that, it was just a tragic accident. So it's interesting how, some people will try to defend it, and then there's this tidal wave of social media slamming, and we appreciate that from people, and we set out what we wanted to do. We knew this would be a controversial movie, and we get people talking, and that's really what it's done. But it's like almost unanimously, people have supported this film.
Mark, I was in the Soviet Union in 1990 when Boris Yeltsin. 1991, when Boris Yeltsin was running for president, and it was before the Soviet Union broke up, but it was just the beginning of openness, what they called glasnost openness. And so I was there for 2 weeks interviewing people. My point is this, they, at that time, Russians were just stunned at what they were hearing about what was actually going on in the world, because they've been lied to for 60 years. Now, they didn't say that, but it was like they were all in shock. Everyone I interviewed, it's like, we never knew. We thought this. Yeah. We thought that. We're beginning to get this information. And that's the way I felt with that gentleman sitting next to my husband. It was like the veil had been lifted, and the truth was just shocking. And so, look, I'm a big advocate of truth. And in that regard, I appreciate what you have done with this movie. And hats off to you for telling the truth about such a difficult story. Mark, very quickly, what's your next project?
I'm working on a little comedy in New York that's hopefully coming together, and then also doing hopefully a movie for Disney, a sports-themed movie, which is what I've, kind of known for. And, we're just looking for great projects and try to execute it at a high level. It's been enjoyable.
Well, you're certainly doing that. So, Mark Chardy, thanks. Great to know you. I'll get to know you. And also, I just appreciated the movie. So thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sandy. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Talk to you again. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Christ's followers must contend for the authority of scripture in every generation. Current societal challenges that are described as culture wars are really societal attacks on the authority and application of Scripture. American Family Studios has created a documentary film project that will aid you in effectively conveying a reason for your unwavering trust in Jesus and unflinching confidence in His Word. You need this in your life. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get this resource. You won't be disappointed.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
American Family Coffee is coffee with a cause. Not only is it a delicious way to start your day, but it can also wake you up to the idea of supporting the American Family Association through a product you'd normally buy anyway. And you know, there's almost nothing as wholesome and basic to American culture as a good cup of coffee. Choose from morning blend, evening blend, and everything in between. Get your American Family Coffee and support the American Family Association at afastore.net.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
I would like to give a hearty thumbs up and thank Abraham Hamilton III for his spot-on show called The Hamilton Corner. It is intelligent, well-researched. It's a counterpoint to the mainstream propaganda.
I just want to give a shout-out to Abraham Hamilton III. Brother, you are a breath of fresh air, especially during the time slot that I listen to you on my way home from work.
Hi, this is Abraham Hamilton III, and it really blows me away to hear how God is using the Hamilton Corner and all the other programs on American Family Radio. He's doing an amazing work here. That's why I'm glad to have an opportunity to ask you to partner with us financially during our three-day share-a-thon starting Tuesday, April 17th.
God bless you. Keep up the good work.
Hamilton, keep on doing what you are doing. It's much appreciated.
Come join Sandy Rios for a walk back in time when she was a young grieving mom, discovering firsthand how God's strength is made perfect in weakness.
I'll be the song for you. I'll be the symphony.
The music of Sasha's Song, Sandy Rios' first album project, is a reminder of God's faithfulness.
Would God sustain us through the years?
Produced by John Ennis of the Billy Graham Crusade with members of the Indianapolis Orchestra, this beautiful music will lift your heart.
Like peering through a window blurred with rain, emotions run together in a flood of doubt and pain. For He is able.
Available on CD at afastore.net.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, I can't tell you how weird it is for me to run a commercial for something that I do in the show. You know, I've been with AFA for, 7 years? American Family Radio, and I've never done that before. It's awkward. You know, when I used to sing in concert, I know that artists halfway through hold up their records and tapes and talk about them and say they're available in the back, but I never did that. I never did that because I just felt I was always there to minister to people, and I did not want them to misunderstand why I'm doing what I'm doing. So that's why this is awkward for me. You know, I hate it when, like, when Rush Limbaugh is, you know, hawking his products. There's just something about that. So that's the last thing on my mind. I have to tell you, Sasha's Song was my first album. Probably has had the most powerful effect in terms of ministry of, I think, well, I don't know, maybe you could argue that. I have three different albums, and maybe at some point we'll repackage them too. But it just amazes me that, you know, I recorded this in the 80s, that people still request it. And I think it's because it was recorded for me during a very, you know, I had a very severely disabled child and a lot of complications in my life. I took care of her for 20 years, and God really whittled away at my character and personality and held me still for a very long time. Sasha had required full care, and it was a tough time in my life, and I had no idea. I took care of her for 20 years in our home, and I had no idea about what the future might hold, how long it was going to last, and the only thing I had, honestly, was that I trusted God. No matter what, I trusted God, whatever that meant. We take what comes from the hand of God. You know, do we only, as Job said, we only thank God for blessing, and we don't understand. We take what comes from His hand, and so that's the conclusion I reached. But it was a difficult, really difficult conclusion. So Sasha's song is a song I wrote for my daughter one day, one Sunday afternoon when she was very, very sick, and I wrote that one song in this album, but there are other songs on there that I did not write that are just so powerful and beautiful, like He Is Able, Till You Hear the Music, which is just gorgeous. So I poured my heart out in these songs prayerfully, and I think God used them. So because people have still asked me for this through the years, we've repackaged it so that it's available. It was, you know, here's the funny thing. It was available, you know, initially on LPs. Yes, you remember LPs? Anybody? Anybody remember those? And of course, CD, cassette tapes. And this is funny because I sold the first 1,000 records immediately, like right away. And then the second, we reordered like another 1,000, and they were stacked up in my garage, wherever they were. No, I guess I was with a record company. No, I wasn't with a record company then. That came later. And so it was like in 24 hours, the CDs came out and nobody was buying LPs. And so actually those have been in storage for years, and we just recently tossed a lot of them out because, and it was kind of funny, like, that didn't work out so well. So and now we've put them on CD, which they hadn't been before, and we've repackaged it. So that's why you keep hearing these commercials. We intended to do this on Good Friday, our Good Friday show, because we featured some of the music, and it made sense, but somehow that did not happen. So we're doing it during the show, even though it seems like kind of a non sequitur. It's not political. It's not something I talk about normally. But when you hear the spots this next week or so, you'll understand why we're doing this. You go to the AFA store, afastore.net, and you can order it. By the way, Adam, let's repost. As odd as this sounds, our Good Friday show, 2 years in a row, didn't get posted on Good Friday. So, you know, like today, are you in the mood to hear a Good Friday show? Well, maybe not, but this one actually was so sweet, the way it came together. It was just really neat, and I was very sad that it didn't get posted. So let's put it on our Facebook page again with a link to how to order Sasha's song so that people can do that if they want. All right, all that to say, oh, by the way, something else. Share-a-thon is next week, and we love your stories. You've been hearing them on the show already. We love your stories. So if you have something to say about what AFR Talk has meant to you, call 877-876-8893. 877-876-8893. All right, I'm going to do the impossible now because I really wanted to open the phone line. So let's do it. I've talked about a lot of things this morning. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Would love to know, especially your thoughts about Jordan running for speaker, how you think about that, if that would energize you, would it? If you thought Jim Jordan were running for speaker and that there was a slate of candidates running in these primaries who actually supported what President Trump ran on, would that energize you or your friends? You think it'd make a difference? That doesn't have to be the only thing we talk about, but if you have a comment on that, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear what you think about it. While we're waiting for the phones, Jonathan writes, Sandy, don't you find it funny or strange that the porn star, what's her name, McDaniel, Stormy Daniel, whatever her name was, would come out with all this after Larry Flint offered $1 million or more to anyone that had dirt on our president? You know, I never thought about that. I'd forgotten about that, Jonathan. He did. Larry Flint, the pornographer, penthouse editor, he used to be, I don't know if he still is or not, did offer $1 million for anyone that has garbage on the president. That's true. And that needed to be reported. This is from Karen. She says she enjoyed me talking about my trip to Scotland. And she said, what about an AFR guided tour of Scotland sometime next year when it's not so cold? Well, you know what, Karen? That's a great idea. Maybe we'll, you know, I'll put a bug in Tim Wildman's ear and we'll see what we can come up with. All right. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And let's go to Roger in Texas. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Sandy. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I talked to you a time or two before, but I remember you from your music, actually, and I remembered you when you came on AFA, but I was, and I hate to use the word was, but it's really true in my case, a musician. Don't do much of that anymore. But I used your music because at the time they were doing background tracks and that was okay to use in a church setting, and I used a couple of years for that. I remember them fondly and appreciate now that they'll be available to some other folks just to listen to.
Oh, so thanks,
thank you very much.
You're very sweet. You know, down in Houston, there's a radio station there that for years played a lot of the things I'd done. I think one of them was My Shepherd Became a Lamb. That's not on this particular album, but that was one of the favorites. It's fun. So when I hear from someone who remembers I was a musician, it always makes me laugh, Roger. That's like another life, because I'm with you. I hardly do music anymore, but it used to be my life. It used to be my life, and I still, of course, love it. And it's such a great tool for God to reach people. I've heard some say, and I think it's true, that music reaches the left and the right side of the brains because it appeals to the emotions and the intellect. And so it's a powerful tool that God can use to inspire and encourage us. Thank you, Roger. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Let's go to Anna in Arkansas. Good morning, Anna.
It's Annalise.
Hello, Annalise.
And, also, just before I ask you my question, I wanted to say that you have a very beautiful voice. I used to sing also for nursing homes and St. Jude and whatever. But every time when I hear you sing For He Is Able, I just get goosebumps. So I'm going to order the album, and I hope others do. And I look forward to listening to the show that they didn't do on Good Friday. But anyway, the question that I have is you talked with this producer, and what was his purpose of putting out the movie? Because I can see so much pain from his family that they had no part in it, his children, and then, of course, her family. And I don't feel like he had a nefarious reason. So what do you feel was his purpose in putting out the movie?
Well, he's, I don't know, Mark, that I would just say that he's a filmmaker, always looking for good story, good content. And I would say, he's a great filmmaker, really. He's done some great movies. I think that's probably, it may be nothing more than that. I don't know anything about his personal life. I think it's possible. Sometimes people will say, it's not safe in Hollywood to have a political conservative bone in your body. Maybe Mark has an inkling toward what conservatives believe in truth. So I guess maybe he is just a given that he maybe has that. But he was committed to telling the story about it. I just think it's a matter of craft. And also, it might be a matter of passion for truth, too, Anna. Honestly, I don't know. Maybe I should have opened the phone lines and let you ask him that. But listen, thank you. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to, is it Charlotte in West Virginia?
Charles.
I just have C-H-A-R, so I have to guess. You are not a Charlene. Hi, Charles.
Definitely.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I have... After listening to the producer of that Chappaquiddick movie, I might go see it. I had sworn not to because I'm old enough to remember all that and how the news coverage and how it was presented. And I just didn't want to get into it again because I thought it was a travesty. It was awful what happened. And it was just something I didn't want to remember. But after hearing your interview and you're seeing the movie, I might go see it.
You know what? I think you should, Charles. You've heard what I said about it. It's a compelling movie, and it tells the truth. So I think you will be surprised. So thank you. Thanks, Char. Okay, let's go to Frank. Frank in Virginia. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
My pleasure.
First-time caller. And,
okay, welcome.
Just wanted to let you know that I enjoy everything that you have going on. You show me that I'm thinking in the right direction. My boss has given me a challenge that if I listen to his news station for 60 days, he would listen to you for 60 days. So I'm going to take him up on that.
Poor guy. Oh, dear. You know what? That's great. I think that's great. Because, Frank, you know, you've heard me say, and it's true. If you are a person who wants to know what's true, you should be able to listen to anything, unless it's obscene. I don't think that as conservatives, we should, oh, no, I can't hear that. No. You know, no, bring it on. Because if we can't make a case for our position on issues, it doesn't mean anything. We have to know why we believe what we believe. So good for you, Frank. And you know what? You should call me back after you do that and let me know what your impression was after you listened to what he wants you to listen to.
Fair enough. I'll do it.
Yeah, and tell your boss. I think he's. I appreciate his openness to doing this. It shows that he kind of wants to know what's true too. So God bless him for that. Thank you, Frank. Good luck with that. Let's go to Carl in Arkansas. Good morning, Carl.
Morning. How you doing?
Good. Doing good.
I had a question. I responded to a American Family Association action alert on the omnibus spending bill a little while ago.
Yep.
One of the points they brought up was they said that the bill contained, I can't remember, it was $50 million or $500 million for Planned Parenthood. And I received a response back from Representative John Bozeman in Arkansas, and he said that that's not true and that the bill didn't contain money for Planned Parenthood, and if it had, he wouldn't have voted for it.
John Bozeman's not being honest with you, Carl.
what do you do with that?
Well, you vote him out. That's the reason it's good news that Paul Ryan is stepping down. That's the reason why we need to pray that Jim Jordan will step up to the plate and that we can get a mass of conservatives running for House seats, that the rhinos will fall off, the ones that have stabbed us in the back, not only on Planned Parenthood, but on the wall, on immigration, drain the swamp. And if you just Google that, let's say look at LifeSite News and Google that, you can find the exact information of what monies were in that bill for Planned Parenthood, and then you can write them back or send them the article. LifeSite News.
What's the website again?
LifeSite News. LifeSite. LifeSite.
LifeSite News. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna
okay.
do that. I may follow back up with him.
Okay, good.
What talking about.
That's what you should do. Okay, thanks. Steve, you have the last word in Arkansas very quickly.
Very quickly. Okay. Question, whatever happened to Perpetua? Now, Perpetua was a beautiful woman that in the 4th century before you had photography. She was fed to the lions, and she died for Jesus. And now you've got Larry Flynn and somebody come up with $100 million or millions of dollars for a prostitute in order to discredit Donald Trump. Well, so why not the subject of the truth that beautiful women can use their beauty for Jesus, and they don't all get bought to perpetuate a lie? Thank you.
Well, that's a good question, and of course I believe in that with all my heart, Steve. Yeah, I think of Esther. You know, God can use a woman's beauty for good, and not for that. No question about it. And I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we don't. I hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget to go to church and honor God with your lives. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.